Praise God. Welcome to all those that are joining us today, both in person and online. We do appreciate you. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. And we want to encourage you that regardless of what you're facing, just know that you are victorious because of Christ. Once again, I'd like to thank you again for your liberal donations and your prayers. It makes us possible to do what we do in the kingdom, and not only in the kingdom at large, but also in the local community and abroad. We're coming to a very different place and a different season in the ministry, which is a good thing. And I'm excited about that place. Because of your giving and God's grace, we're able to serve so many different people, and we appreciate you. Jeets and I invite you, to those that haven't partnered with us, to partner with us, and as we just help change the lives of people throughout not only Springfield but abroad. And that's where God has taken us, and we're excited. We have a special guest. He's a friend of mine. He joined in, worked with us. I want him to stand up. I know he won't mind. Bradley, stand up, give us a wave. He's new to our family, and we're excited about you, man. He's a part of our staff, and it's amazing how God connects people. If anybody else is here for your first time, you can also let it be known by texting connect us at 94,000, and we'd love to hear from you. Our prayer team would love to connect with you and give you information, any information that you have, and we want to pray for your prayer needs and celebrate your praise reports. And here's my prayer. And for those that say, well, how do we give? You know, this is amazing. We haven't taken like past a bucket in almost 2 years. And man, God has been more faithful and just so gracious that we've received more this year than we ever have before. And it's all because of God's grace. Yeah, you can give God a praise for that. Thank you, Lord. And we continue to pay down our mortgage, which will be done this year. We went from over $1 million down to like a couple hundred thousand. And there's been some faithful givers, and God is just good. Go on, give yourselves a real big hand. Thank you so much. So our next generation, they will be totally debt-free, and I praise God for that. So here's my prayer for you. I pray that as you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and that God would make all a grace-based God would make all grace abound toward you, and that you would have abundance to do every good deed that God has called you to do and be a blessing to others. I pray that above all things that you would prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And those that agree with that prayer, why don't you give him a good God bless you today? He's a good God. I want to thank God for our worship team as well. Thank God for you. Blessing that. Thank you, band. Thank you, man. You all are a blessing. Man, oh man. So there's one scripture, actually two, and there'll be some others, but these two that are focal points today. And the first one is this: but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then the following verse, which I'm actually reading from the NIV, and it says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble, help me out, of its own. How many of you all know each day has enough trouble of its own? Yeah, no doubt about it. So when I look at this passage and I think about what Jesus is speaking to his disciples, especially in light of the theme that we've been sharing about this month, which is legacy. And as I define the word legacy, I talk about the very fact that it is what I live, what I give, and what I leave. And legacy outlives me. It's what people remember about us. And we as a church, we want people to remember something about us. We want people to remember that we were people of God, that we sought God, that we sought his will, his purpose, his plan for our lives. And also, I want to let you know that God, I want to, above everything that we do, I want to share with this next generation that we didn't do it alone, But God has been with us the whole time. And if we're going to do anything else, it'll only be done because God is for us and God is with us. So we want to leave a kingdom legacy. Are you with me today? A kingdom legacy. And someone asked, well, Pastor, tell us about the kingdom. And maybe I can tell you as I, you know, share this story. Jeetha and I was traveling through Europe, and we met a young lady who had a strong accent, and she told us she was from she said she was from Norway. And of course, I wanted to hear more about it, her culture and how things operated. Well, she said that Norway was a kingdom. So it was the kingdom of Norway, and the king was Harald V. And I asked her about, well, what's it like there? She said, we've got some castles and we've got an older place, but it's beautiful and the king is gracious. And then I began to ask other questions because I recognize that in America, it's hard for us to understand a kingdom. So when the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, many of us miss it because it goes right over our head because we've never been exposed to a kingdom. We've never had a quote unquote king of the United States. So therefore it goes over our head. But in parts of Africa, they have kings, and Europe for sure, and many other places, they have kings. So we don't understand kingdom, kingship, or lordship, and it's kind of challenging for some of us. So I went on to ask the question. I said, well, they have castles and so forth and so on. Well, tell me about the economy and who makes the decisions. It says, well, you know, the king makes the decisions. And I think, like, if somebody makes a decision in the United States, boy, we have all kind of issues, don't we? And I don't care about what political party you're from, but we don't want nobody to tell us nothing. Ever since Lil Nas came out with that song, Can't Nobody Tell Us Nothing, man, these folks been taking that to heart. Can't nobody tell me nothing. But that is not the word of God. Hello in this house. So a kingdom, if you will, a kingdom is the realm of the king's reign, his rule, his authority. And when you're talking about God, you're talking about the spiritual realm, you know, which would be God's rule, God's reign, God's authority. It's, in other words, God's way of doing things. Say it with me, God's way of doing things. And how many of you know that God's way of doing things is not always our way of doing things? Do me a favor, witness to a neighbor and say, is he talking to you? Because some of us, we got a way of doing things. But his way of doing things is not like we would do things. So if there's one thing, again, I want to leave to this next generation, they need to know that the kingdom of God realm supersedes the earth realm. Yes. Let me think if I say it one more time. The kingdom of God realm, that sphere, supersedes anything you see, touch, hear. I mean, it does. It absolutely does. And there's a place that the body of Christ needs to tap into. It's the kingdom of God. Somebody give God a praise in this house. So what we live, what we give, and what we leave that outlives me. I want this to outlive me because I don't want anyone to see what God has done here and think it's about me, because it's not. It's about the kingdom of God and us advancing the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus tells his disciples, he says, but seek ye first what? And then everything else is going to be added. Now understand, this is a part of a message that he is sharing. So if you go to the earlier part of that same passage, he tells them not to worry about anything. And when I look at that passage, you know, so let me at least give you a first point. I'm not sure how far I'll get, but let me give you this first point. It's simply this. Don't let fear and worry rob you of your kingdom focus. With all the stuff that's happened in the world and all the things that are happening now, we have to be careful not to lose our kingdom focus. Chita was talking earlier about the thing, she was like saying, we can just chill out, we can just go our way and do our thing. Man, that is so not a kingdom focus. As she was preaching earlier, you know, if you're not dead, you're not done. That's it. hallelujah in this house. So listen at what Jesus says, and he is sharing with them, and it's so important for us to recognize that, because I don't want people to allow fear and worry to rob them of their kingdom focus. See, there's another realm beyond what we see. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I feel a praise coming on already. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, can I share with you, there's some people that worry, and I looked at the top 10 worries, and among them is work, you know, money. Among them is also relationships. You know, people, sometimes they worry about relationships. Well, I haven't found him yet. I don't care if you do. Don't worry about it. You know, I haven't found her yet. I'm still looking for her. Well, if you don't find her, you continue to keep your kingdom focused. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Another thing people worry about is promotion. They worry about their safety. They worry about their future. And these things can, if we're not careful, they can totally engulf us. They can consume us. Jesus knew that, and he began to talk to his disciples. He was like saying, folks, you all are not like everybody else. You have a covenant relationship. You live in a kingdom. And he says, I want you to grasp this, because if you don't get this, you're going to be living like you don't have a king. Let me share this. Jesus says, in the same passage as he is teaching, he tells them, he says, when you pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Kingdom come. What does that mean? God's rule, God's reign, God's authority, God's way of doing things come. So in other words, he's saying, when you pray, say, your kingdom come, God. Not my kingdom. Your will be done, God, not my will. And when the church comes to that point, you talk about walking in authority, you talk about walking in power, you're talking about changes and things in this world, because, you know, I'm just letting you know, when his will is done, it changes everything. Somebody give him a praise right now. He's a good God. Thank you, God. Here's what he says to them. Man, Jesus is so tough. I mean, I like him. He says, that is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? Isn't your body more than Nike and Louis and all that? Isn't your more than that? He said, look at the birds. They don't plant nor harvest nor store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Can I tell you one responsibility of the king? Because I was asking the lady about kingship. And one responsibility of the king is not only to make decrees, because sometimes that's all we think that they do, but they not only make decrees, their job is to provide and to protect everyone in their kingdom. The king's job, that's why they build strong walls. Why? They want to protect those in the kingdom. Let me ask you, how many of you all are in the kingdom of God?
All right.
Can I let you know this? Oh man, I don't know if you'll get it or not, but it's not even your responsibility to protect yourself. It's not even your responsibility to provide for yourself, because truth be known, you can't protect yourself. Bullets flying all around you, how are you going to protect yourself? You can't provide for yourself in your own strength. You may think you can, but you really can't. If God would take his hand away from you, if God would take his perfect protection away from you, we would be in trouble. It's his job. He's God. He's our king. Somebody give God glory in this house. Give him glory. Then he says in the 28th verse, and why are you worrying about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. They grow. See how they grow? They don't make any clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed or not arrayed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers, the wildflowers, that they're here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And I see so many people worrying about so many things. I get tired of hearing about people worrying about COVID. That's the common conversation. Instead of talking about Jesus and the kingdom of God, COVID, did you hear COVID? Did you take the vaccine? Did you not? I'm so tired of that. Jesus is bigger than the vaccines. You know, God is greater than that a mask. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then he says in the 32nd verse, and I pray that you read it with me, says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. They dominate the thoughts of who? Not believers. Not us. They don't dominate our thoughts. That's why I can't let everybody in my ear, because some people, they're not kingdom minded. They're not kingdom focused. They're flesh minded. And when they come to you, it's only in the flesh. It's not thus saith the Lord. Do you all know anybody like that? You have to check them, and they don't mean any harm. They're just fleshy. They're just carnal. So therefore, I'm careful about who I follow, who I listen to, who I hang out with, because if all you're doing is telling me the news, I don't need you, because I can listen to that on TV. Yeah, y'all still love me. I love Jerry Wayne. But what I'm saying to you is, if those things are dominating your thoughts, then you're like the unbeliever. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read it one more time. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Do you know that this is the very reason that Paul was encouraging Timothy, as we started 2 weeks ago, the mother and the grandmother? He says, you know, Timothy, I know you're leading a church here, and I know that there's some challenges that face you, but I want you to know that the same faith that was in Eunice and in Lois is on the inside of you, and I see it. I see it. It's that strong, unfeigned faith, and you need to walk in that. In fact, I'm going to lay hands on you to stir up what has become dormant on the inside of you, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Can I let you know, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear? I don't know what it looks like, who's saying what, but we don't have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of power, help me out, love, and what? Thank you, God. And sometimes even the church, we need to be restirred, because there's some things that was down in there, and they just settled down, and they just all the way at the bottom. And we need a good shaking and a stirring. And he said, I'm going to stir up the gift that's on the inside of you, that was given by the laying on of hands. And some of us need another touch. Another stirring. Because the truth be known is that the spirit of fear is really, it didn't say God didn't give you fear. He said he didn't give you the spirit of fear. So there's a difference between fear and the spirit of fear. And the more you hear all the stuff that's going on, just like faith comes by hearing, fear comes by hearing too. And then you can be, you ever knew anybody who was scared of everything? I'm just scared. I don't want to do that. I was one of my partners growing up, man. He struggled with the spirit of fear. And everything you say, he was like all shook up about it. And he was like, oh, we can't do that. I'm like, man, if you don't get out of here. He said, Doss, I'm just nervous. I said, well, why are you nervous? He said, well, what if this happened? I said, man, please chill out. You ever want to just smack somebody? They're your friends and you love them, but you just want to just in the name of Jesus. He said, I'm just nervous. He said, my mama nervous, my dad is nervous, my sisters, all of us just nervous. He died quick too. He's gone. You know, nerves will kill you. Being worried will kill you. Thank you, Jesus. But can I share this with you, this next point? I just want to let you know that Jesus was fearless and confident, and his enemies knew it. Jesus was, I mean, I hate to say bad, but he wasn't no chump. Let me say it one more time. Jesus was fearless. What did you ever see him afraid of? Think about it. Think about it. He stopped the funeral procession and said, rise up. He came to somebody after they were dead for 4 days and spoke to the very tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. He wasn't afraid of nothing. He spoke to the storm and said, peace be still. He came by and saw a man that was born blind. And the disciples was looking at him and he was like saying, well, why was this man born blind? He said that I might have an opportunity to give him some sight. Go wash in the pool after I spit in your eyes. Can I preach today? Jesus wasn't fearful of nothing. Man, oh man. And that's who we're following. I like following people that are bold, that are strong, that aren't scared of their shadow. When I was coming up, I was a little boy, and I used to like hanging out with the bigger boys. But if the bigger boys were scared, I wasn't following them. Show me the one that's fearless. God is calling for a fearless church today that would rise up and be strong in this last hour. Are you with me today? Now give him a shout in this house. I mean, give him a real big shout. You know, scripture says, and I love this passage, and y'all write it down if you get a chance, but you know, he was so fearless that his name preceded him. The Bible says in the book of James, and it talked about the very fact, it says that James 2 and 19, it says, you believe, and that's a good thing. He says, he said, you do well. He said, even the demons believe and they tremble. Have you ever been in a place and when someone knows that you're fearless? And they say, oh, this they say this somebody, this, I won't say what they say, but this dude is crazy. This dude is crazy. And when we walk in that kind of faith, that kind of confidence, do you not know that they call Jesus crazy? Beelzebub, prince of demons. Why? Because he walked in such authority. He went into the church and they gave him the book to read, and he picks the thing up. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And looked around like this. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to bring deliverance to those that need. He began, and they said, wait a minute. He put it down, and they said, wait a minute. This dude, he just got through saying that he was the one. Is that what he said? Yeah. And he didn't say it with any fear. What would happen if the body of Christ began to rise up in this hour and recognize that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us and demons have to get out of our way. Serpents have to get out of our way because we can tread upon the heads of serpents. Now y'all don't hear me today. I'm telling you, if we would walk in the authority that God has intended us to walk in, man, and this is where God is taking us. This is where he's taking us. Did you know that Israel, they had such a name for themselves because Jesus fought for them? That they got people, the enemy got nervous. Why? Because, oh, God fights for them. Thank you, Lord. I think we too, and there's a testimony that I can give. It's just kind of an illustration that we've been doing some things and God has been for us, and I thank God for it. But one of the bankers was shared with another leader of the church. He says, it seems like every time that the church gets something or Pastor Doss is involved with it, it always turns out well. Now listen at this. They're not patting me on the back. They're saying God is with him. Can I let you know, if God is with you, I don't care what comes against you, you're going to come out. You may fall, but man, a just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through. If God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Give him a shout in this house. Thank you, God. There's a gentleman that used to come here, because I'm coming against the fear in the body of Christ. I'm binding that thing. I'm pulling it down. I'm walking in authority. And I don't want to be that one in front of you that's acting scared. I don't care what happens. I don't care who doesn't like. Now, I don't say it in an ugly way or a pompous way. I'm just saying if they don't like it, don't understand it. I get that. But that still can't hinder us, because we're not operating under the simple realms of the earth realm. There's a heavenly and a kingdom realm in which we dwell, where God is our king. And there's a different set of rules. Somebody give God praise and give him glory. Woo, I feel a shout coming on. There's one thing that I want to remind you of, is that was passed on to me. My mentors, all of them were strong. All of them were bold. No many miles a week chumps, because I wouldn't follow them. No, I just won't do it. Y'all said, man, you're all pompous. I'm not. If you're scared of something, that means that your focus is not on the kingdom. It's not on the kingdom realm. Even right now, people, and watch this. If you start worrying, your problem is that you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at what about David? He could have looked at the giant, but he looked at his God. Are y'all with me today? What about Jericho walls when they were getting ready to fight? Did they leave? They didn't even have to do, just walk around the walls. If you do that and look to me and watch me do a work, what won't God do for you? What door won't he open? What way won't he make for you? There was this gentleman, his name was Eddie Cunningham. He was an evangelist from a small city. And we would go see him. It was mostly white people from a small city. But they would come and they wanted to go to the worst area. He said, Jerry, take me to the worst area of Springfield. If we go to Decatur, if we go to wherever we go, East St. Louis, because we go everywhere. And take me to the worst area, because I want to confront the worst demons they have. And I want to come late at night while everybody's out, because they're not out at noon. So let's go out at night. I was like saying, they had a bus full of people. I said, if you that bad, I'm with you, man. Let's do this. Let's go. Man, you tell me people got saved, set free, cast demons out of people. The power of God operates, but he can't do it if the body of Christ is scared. Can you just shout one more time, hallelujah? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to pass it on. With my mom, I remember, you know, and my mom was very vocal, if you know her, and once she had 9 kids, you got to straighten them out every now and then, you know, especially the other 8, you know. But, but she had spiritual wherewithal. She could tell if we're lying. She could tell who did it. Man, and that might just be a mama thing. I don't know. Well, she knew who did it. She knew when you did it. And man, she knew how you tried to get out of it. And so it was hard to lie to her. And she would call you to your face. You just a bold-faced liar. Man, I just remember those words so often. I'm just being truthful. But I remember one particular time that we were at church and one of the instruments, one of the guitars someone stole it. And it was, we just got it, hadn't had it that long. And we were having service that night. It was on a Sunday. So have service a day and then have service at night. Well, she said, where's the guitar? And my little brother said, well, I can't get, somebody took it. I left it right here, yada, yada. Man, the Holy Spirit came upon her. She says, I know where that guitar is. And she said, you take me over here. It was a John Hayes home at the time. And take me. And we were like saying, Mom, how do you know? And she said, no, take me over there. She said, go in there and tell so-and-so that to send that guitar out. And the people went in and knocked on the door and said, you know, it's kind of, you kind of bashful about, well, my mom said, send that guitar out. And of course, he said, we don't have no guitar. And we came back. They said, don't have it. She said, go back in there. And if you don't come back, I'm coming to get it. Next thing you know, she said she's coming in to get it. Well, they said, well, we better get it out. They went out in the back, brought it out. Y'all take this guitar and have church tonight. Can I let you know there's a boldness, folks? Because we are not limited to the seen realm. The prophets of God saw things that other people did not see. And when the church begins to operate in that legacy, if we let it pass something on, we got to pass on the legacy of God where we're not limited to this life, this world, what we see, what we touch, what we taste. But there is a kingdom realm. Somebody give God one more praise. My last point, and I'm bringing this to a close. Thank you, Jesus. You all sense his presence? Thank you, God. Here's my final point. When we say yes to the kingdom or the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all heaven stands with us. And I've got a scripture that blesses me when I just read it. Let me say it one more time. When we say yes, yes, God, to the King of Kings, because he is the King of the kingdom and the Lord of Lords, all heaven stands with us and the kingdom stands with us. Thank you, God. No wonder the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as lions. How can we be bold? Because we know who we got backing us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I feel a praise coming. You know, it's a little dude. He's gone. Y'all might know him, may not. His name was Petey. Petey was real short. About this tall. But Petey was, he would walk bold, really bold. And they said, why is the little dude talking all that noise? And they said, man, he got a piece behind him. You know, and it's amazing how much noise you can talk if you got somebody backing you. How much noise should we be talking if God backs us? Hello in the house. Let's look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. It says this, and I want you to underline this if you have a paper Bible. It says this. It says, are you ready? This is Psalm. It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. In other words, his throne is in heaven. And his kingdom, his domain, his area of realm, authority, rules over everything. Then he says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. And what he is saying here, angels in heaven are waiting to be dispersed at his word. And all he needs is someone that would rise up and say, I'm saying yes to God's will. I'm saying yes, God, your will be done, your plan, your purpose. I say yes. Can I let you know that I've seen the hand of God in so many ways just by saying yes. Yes. Boy, this will preach. And Marlon, I'm almost done too, son. You do such a good job. Hallelujah. The Spirit hits you, go on and play. Hallelujah. I've been in so many places just because I've said yes to God. I stand here before you because I said yes to God. On my job, I was there, and God says, you're coming off the job. You ever heard God tell you something and you didn't totally understand, didn't know? Fear is the thing that tries to stop you from doing it. But God says, no, I got you, and this is a God thing. And I remember telling, hey, I'm out. And y'all say, oh, no, I'm gone. I said, don't go. I'm gone. See, that don't make no sense. I'm still gone because I said yes to God. Remember preaching on a Sunday, and I was just like I am now, big mouth. Ooh, Jesus, God said this, and I stand on it. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit. Is that the music? I said both. But I remember just sitting here, and every time we've opened our mouth, remember when Jeetu was standing next to me, and we said, we believe God for healing. And she was bold, just like she does now, gets the microphone and starts walking. I'm not taking any medicine. I'm not doing this. God said I'm healed. I'm like saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. I tried to shut her up. Like bring that down a few notches. And the more I tried to tell her to bring it down a few notches, the louder she got. So then I just said, hey, yeah, we standing on faith. Yeah. I'm just saying, hey, if she gonna go, I'm going with you. I'm down. Let's do this. We prayed over this land. God said, I want to give it to you. I didn't see how we were going to. It was like $300,000 or $400,000. I didn't see how we were going to pay for it. Just the land, not the building, just the land. All God needs is somebody to say yes. One of my biggest fears when the church opened the door was, what was I going to say to the people? 28 years later, I'm saying yes. Y'all might as well stay on your feet. I gotta let you go, but man, he's doing something supernatural. Some of you all, you're wondering how, I gotta share this with you. God just told us to open two businesses, and we did, and it's not for us because we're good, but the next generation will need them. And just the first year we've been able, I'm not saying this for boasting, just the first year we've been able to contribute to the church from that business is over $100,000. I'm just letting you know, God just wants your yes. God just wants your yes. Because if you say yes, all heaven backs you. Heaven stands behind you. I feel a shout coming on. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. So in this season of ministry, God is leading us to some bold steps of faith. But don't worry, because all heaven and the kingdom of God stands behind you. Youth ministry is going higher, and God has called us to reach some more youth and even establish a place for them, so when they don't have a place and a comfortable place at home, that they feel like they've got to go somewhere, we can open a door and say, this is a place that you can have as a safe place. We're taking some bold steps of faith as relates to missions. What do you mean? Yeah. I see that we're going to have a place where missionaries come and have housing. And they don't have to pay rent, they don't have to pay any mortgage, they don't have to pay any food. All they have to do is do the work of God, the kingdom work of God. Oh yeah. And God says, I want to do it. I want to raise up a church that's gonna send out local and missionaries overseas, and they can't be worried about how they're gonna take care of stuff. And that's our job. He said, Pastor, I thought you would have been saw enough by now. Nah. God is raising us up. He's raising up a generation. Thank you, God. Whew. I'm starting a new small group that God called me to some years ago. I just hadn't done it yet, and it's going to be called Kingdom Men. Men of God that walk by faith and not by the things that they see. Men of God that aren't limited to their natural senses. That understand that there's a heavenly realm, a heavenly host of angels, that when we do God's will, we're not by ourselves. 300, that was a good show, and it was good, but I want you to know that God's got some men these days that he says, I don't want anybody but those that believe and trust in me in this last day. I'm done. You all sense his presence? Go on and just worship him with me for a minute. Father, we worship you, God. We give you glory, God. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence, God. Father, we say yes to your will. You are our King, and you're the King of kings. You are our Lord, and you're the Lord of lords. Father, reign, rule, have your way in our church, in our lives, in our families, God. I thank you, God, that the spirit of fear has to go. It has to dissipate right now. No longer will it have any place in our church, in our lives, in our family, in our finances. I come against it right now. I thank you, God, that you're raising up warriors, powerful men and women of God, that would believe you for great things. And Father, I thank you, God, that our next years will be greater than our previous years. Father, I thank you that we haven't seen anything yet. God, you're opening doors. You're making ways. You're raising up individuals, ministers, to carry on the work of the ministry. I claim land in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for you sending people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to be raised up and trained to do the kingdom work, God. We are kingdom people. And we say yes to your will. Now, those that agree with that prayer say amen, and so be it. Amen, so be it. Now, give him your best praise right where you are.